Grace, mercy, and peace is yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The parable of the Good Samaritan is one of the most famous of Jesus' parables. There are organizations named after it, as here in Lethbridge we have the Good Samaritan Society. There are Good Samaritan laws, which protect people from legal liability who try to help someone in an emergency. The idea of helping someone in need, rather than ignoring them or passing them by, is a central takeaway from Jesus' teaching here. But there is, of course, more to it than that. This parable is a part of a broader exchange between Jesus and a lawyer. The lawyer wants to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. And the sense of his asking is something I think very familiar to all of us. It's much like a child asking, "What must I do to go out with my friends? What must I do to get a new toy?" And a parent might say things like, "Well, clean up that mess you made in the living room first. Do your chores, then you can go out." Things like that. But that's not how a parent wants it to work. That you need to bribe your children to help out the family, that there's some sort of a quid pro quo exchange, my interests for your interests. No, it would be much better if the child would just help out voluntarily, willingly, instinctively, not to get something out of it, but just because that's what the child knows and wants to do. I asked my current events students this week in class why they think it's important for them to keep up with current events. And every answer I received had to do with how doing so, keeping up on things, would benefit them. For instance, keeping up on the COVID pandemic would help them better prepare to keep themselves safe. Knowing the news would help them stay informed so they can make better judgments for themselves. But the reason I was looking for, and I don't blame them for not getting it, children are trained to be able to look after themselves before they grow into adulthood and have children of their own. But the answer I was looking for as to why to keep up with current events is that it helps you be a more responsible citizen, ideally. And responsible citizens can better help their neighbor. You should keep up on things within reason so that you can better help your neighbor because you know about his needs. So one perspective looks at something and asks, "What do I get out of it?" That's how I know whether it's good to do or not. The other asks, "How will this help those around me?" For instance, in the current situation of wearing a mask, it's often said that you're not supposed to wear a mask just for yourself, to protect yourself, to think about whether or not you have to worry about getting the virus yourself. But it's talked about in terms of you wear a mask so you don't spread this to others. So, in one sense, the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us how we are to act instinctively. We are to stop instinctively thinking of our own good first, but rather the good of our neighbor. What must you do to inherit eternal life? Well, an inheritance is something that you receive because you're a son or a daughter, not because you've done anything. If you inherit it, you didn't earn it. If you earned it, you didn't inherit it. But rather than get so technical, Jesus answers this question posed by the lawyer, and he says that a son or daughter of God should ask or would ask. He answers it in that sort of way. So, what should I do? How should I live? These are the questions that should be asked, not how should I live to inherit eternal life? How should I live to get what I want out of life? It's rather, how should I live regardless of what I get out of it? What should I do regardless of how it may or may not benefit me? In the beginning, Eve was tempted to eat the fruit by Satan. But we all know that the devil didn't make her do it. As James writes in his epistle, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. The reason Eve ate was because she wasn't thinking, what should or shouldn't I do with regard to God's word? Eve ate after she put aside God's word and what she would do and what would be best, and reasoned that eating would benefit her. Scripture says, when she saw that the fruit was pleasing to her eye, good for food, and desirable to make her wise, she ate. See, sin is not only doing what God says not to do or not doing what he says. It's a state of mind which is curved inward for all things and asks of everything, what do I get out of it? How will it affect me? I know I'm using a lot of words to just point out the simple concept we all know as selfishness. So in this parable, Jesus says that the priest and the Levite see the beaten man and walk around him and do not help. It might be that they did not have the time. It might be that they did not have the means to help the person. It might even be, as some have reasonably inferred, that these are the ones who had to work in God's temple, the priest and the Levite, and if they touched a dead person, according to the Old Testament law, they would be unclean. And if unclean, they would be able to fulfill their duties in the temple. Many of us, I think this way now, how if they caught COVID, they would have to self-quarantine, and they wouldn't be able to go to work and fulfill their duty to others, things like that. But what's so inspiring about the Samaritan is his instinct for mercy, is his default desire to help. We can talk about having a Christian duty to help others, but duty sounds like something that we do even if we don't want to. But imitators of Jesus Christ want to help. Mercy, not avoidance, is their instinct. Now, someone might say, that's all well and good, instinctively helping everyone you see. That's great, but can't that be a bit irresponsible? The story goes that Martin Luther was so free with any money and goods that he had, so free with taking people into his home and feeding them and giving them aid, that his wife Katie had to carefully withhold and ration what they had, kind of away from him, or else he would have given everything away and they would have starved. And a person who cannot feed themselves certainly will not be able to be charitable to others in need in the future. So friends, all things need to be put into perspective. And here is where we need to remember to be true to our callings, our vocations. Not everyone is called to be a pastor, a spouse, a worker, a student. In Luther's day, it was not uncommon for spouses to leave their homes, forsake their families, and enter into the monastery in the name of purifying their life and dedicating it to helping others in God's name. And today, it's fashionable for people to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to travel overseas to help the poor for a mere couple of weeks. And that's somehow thought of as better, more evangelical and Christian than staying at home and fulfilling your responsibilities to the people around you here. It's helpful at this point to remember that the word neighbor means the one who is near you. And if you remain where you are, in your family, in your employment, in your church, in your element, you will be able to find enough opportunities to act in mercy and love such that you will not need to go out of your way looking for it. God has so placed us in our times and circumstances not to search for ways to be mercy, but to be merciful. And so Jesus, in his vocation as the Messiah, went down from heaven to earth on a business trip before returning to the Father. And while here, he saw many people with broken bodies and broken spirits. Many times when he was going off to pray or on his way from here to there, he saw the crowds, and though he was on an errand, he had compassion on them. He is the Savior of the world, and in his visitation, he binds up the wounded. He takes them to the safety of his holy church. He forgives their sins, and he promises to forgive whatever other sins and transgressions that they commit before their own resurrection to new life, before he returns. He is the Good Samaritan, equipped to help we who have fallen dead in our trespasses and sins. And because he showed us such great mercy, without second thought, but by instinct, that is God's nature. And his Spirit is ours. And so we are set free to be merciful to those around us as we sojourn here and await the day of recovery when Christ returns to take us where he is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God which passes our understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll now continue by speaking together the offertory. Page 192.